It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom? Or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. And welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much to each and every one of you for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Step into this time in history. You were made for this time. And thank you to producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Thank you for all your excellence. Producer Steve, it is a Monday, and as we look at the headlines, oh my gosh, we have so much work to do.
Yeah, happy Monday is obviously an oxymoron today.
Yes, and we'll be talking about it here in just a moment, and that is what's happened over the weekend in Afghanistan with basically the country falling to the Taliban. But we'll talk about that in just a moment. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson. MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Our weekly newsletter, we had a great op-ed by Alan Thomas regarding, he said, a woke Olympian is a free Olympian, basically. And as we look at what happened again this weekend over in Afghanistan, we realize how important that particular piece is. So that op-ed is on my website, as well as the podcast. We are getting back in the groove of our podcast with Lyle Laverty, and he'd been with the Fish and Wildlife. I think the Department of the Interior. But we talked about we do not have to have these intense forest fires that we're having. We've always had forest fires, and we always will have forest fires. But it is really because we have mismanaged our forests that the intensity is so extreme right now. And so that's a really important podcast as well, Steve.
Absolutely. And I'm glad we're back into the podcast because it's usually a great opportunity to maybe drill down a little bit deeper than we can Monday through Friday.
Yeah, we're not constricted by the time clock, and so that's a good thing. And so be sure and check that out. That's at my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who contribute to keep us going. We are an independent voice. I purchased my airtime so that we have total freedom in our guest selection, our subject selection, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate you, and of course all of our sponsors as well. And one of those great sponsors is Hooters Restaurants, and they have five locations, and that is Westminster, Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. And they have lunch specials. And as serious as things are, it's nice to at least over lunch maybe get together with friends. And right now, Steve, they're holding the line. They have not inflated those prices, even though inflation is up over 5% on an annual basis right now. They have not increased those prices right now. So they have $8 items, which is their Baja fish tacos, their lunch burger with fries or smoked wings, $9 items, shrimp tacos, chicken strips, chicken garden salad, or buffalo chicken garden salad, or the cheesesteak, the Philly cheesesteak, or $10 items, which is their fish and chips, which are delish, their buffalo chicken sandwich, or their Western burger. So they're holding the line on that. Check out my website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Click on my sponsors tab. I highly recommend each and every one of them. And if you click on the Hooters tabs, they have all the specials there. My gosh, let's continue on here. Great show. We're going to be talking, you know, these local races for school board and city council and metro districts are super, super important. And Robin Carnes is running for Centennial City Council. And so we'll talk to her in the second segment. And then Pam Long. She's a former captain in the Army Medical Corps, and we're going to be talking about Biden's forced experimental drug jab. Can't wait for that, Steve.
Yeah, I guess she's going to set the record straight. I've seen conflicting stories now about how our military is to be introduced to the vaccine. Someone suggests that it's strictly voluntary. The other one suggests that, no, there's nothing voluntary about it. You're going to get it.
You know, we finally have remembered that word projection. And we see just projection in all kinds of different arenas, and that's where they project onto their opponent what they're really doing. But the projection that it is voluntary, we'll talk to Pam and find out, but I'm not seeing much voluntary around this at all. I'm seeing coercion, force. It's masked in different ways, but there's not a lot of medical freedom in this particular choice. And speaking of freedom, we look at these issues. We search for truth by looking at them through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And it's not compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or the latest silent thief, Steve, is government-induced inflation. I saw Stephen Moore last night on, I think it was Steve Hilton. And apparently Biden, even though he's on vacation, is trumpeting the fact that supposedly paychecks have gone up 4%. But inflation is up 5-point-something%. So in essence, every day you go to work, you're losing money because of inflation.
Well, as you were listing all the different things, you know, it's not right, you know, to take people's things. And I'm thinking, you know, just ask the hundreds of thousands of small businesses that are no longer in business.
You know, what's going on regarding inflation, correct?
Well, all the things that you listed, I would say the small businesses who are no longer in business, who, you know, just couldn't keep moving forward. And instead of taking any more losses, says, I've just got to cease to do business. They have experienced everything on that list.
They really have. They really have. And that, what you're describing there, though, is that has been the assault to take out the middle class. I look at what's going on this Monday morning, and I'm so concerned about our country. I'm so concerned about our children. And it's really heavy on my heart because, we're into August, so we're not even 7 months in to this administration. And those 19 Republican senators that voted for this infrastructure bill, and we named them last week, they sold us out, Steve. They absolutely sold us out. And I am so frustrated with that.
Well, I don't have a comprehensive list in front of me, but I do remember we talked about it last week. It did have some very familiar names on it, and we call them RINOs, Republicans in name only. Every one of them was also a never Trumper. What a coincidence. So right. Let's not be too surprised to a degree. Several of them are going to be up for re-election in 2022, and you know, I guess the call is out there that they need to be primaried.
Oh my gosh, they do need to be primaried. Right now, I'm concerned if we can make it to 2022 at the speed that this administration is taking to really destroy our country, to destroy our futures, to destroy the futures of our children. It's absolutely mind-boggling. So let's jump over here, Steve, to our quote for today.
And not this so is much inspirational, I would say, because I've seen it. Go ahead.
It's Joseph Goebbels, and he was the German Nazi politician who was the chief propagandist for the Nazi Party and then Reich Minister of Propaganda from 1933 to 1945. He was one of Adolf Hitler's closest and most devoted acolytes, known for his skills in public speaking and his deeply virulent anti-Semitism, which was evident in his publicly voiced views. He was born in 1897, died in 1945. And this is what he said. It would not be impossible to prove with sufficient repetition and psychological understanding of the people concerned that a square is in fact a circle. They are mere words, and words can be molded until they clothe ideas and disguise. Do you not see a lot of that going on right now, Steve?
Well, you know, this isn't a time to be highlighting the former big Nazis, but I think I mentioned to you, we saw a picture last week of Hermann Göring. Is that the right guy I'm thinking of?
I think so.
Yes. Sitting at the, you know, in the box at the trials at Nuremberg, and the interrogator, the prosecutor, asked him, how did you guys, meaning the Nazi leadership, get the German people to go along? And he said, you know, it was pretty simple. The key component was fear.
Yes, and we have seen that front and center right now. Let's for the balance of this segment, Steve, what's happening over in Afghanistan, Kabul falling. In fact, last night I saw a picture of Taliban sitting in some office. I don't know if it was at the embassy.
Or it might have been the palace.
Is that where it was? It was at the palace. Yeah. And there was either a water bottle. I thought the picture was so interesting because there was either a water bottle or it was a container of hand sanitizer. I wasn't sure which. But quite frankly, my friends, I'm not sure that the coronavirus is the thing that really needs to be of great concern right now. What I see is this capitulation by this administration to what has happened. And it's beyond belief right now. Is Joe Biden and Jen Psaki are on vacation. Could you imagine if Trump was in office and we saw Afghanistan fall like it has, and he was on vacation, and then the press would email the press secretary and you get the canned response about, I'm on vacation? I mean, really, honestly, Steve, I can't even believe it. It's unbelievable.
What's the old adage? A picture is worth a thousand words. Now, Fox News has, it's a hybrid or an engineered picture about this on their website right now. But in the center is the Taliban sitting in the palace. On one side is Jen Snarky leaving, I'm sorry, Psaki, leaving her podium. On the right side is Biden leaving his podium. And in the center is the, underneath it is that auto reply to Psaki's email. It says, I am on vacation.
And before we go to break, then we just have to highlight or lowlight this. This is by Jack Davis in the Western Journal. And it says, the State Department on Sunday told Americans in Kabul that their best chance of survival is to hide. Like, is it going to get better? Who's the cavalry that's going to come get them?
Can anybody imagine, you know, sitting here in the U.S. right here and now, imagine what it felt like to get that response?
And I was thinking about it last night as I was working on a variety of things and having some great Kansas sweet corn and just how blessed we are. I felt safe where I am. And here we have over in Kabul in Afghanistan. Think about the people that helped us over this last 20 years, Steve. Remember when we were talking to retired Army Major General Joe Arbuckle, and he was talking about the people that he worked with in Vietnam? And of course, as the Americans fled Vietnam, the people, you know, trying to you know, hang on to those helicopters to get out of Saigon. This is the same thing, except worse. Same thing, except worse. But anyway, so Americans, go ahead and hide. That's what we're going to tell you to do. And I'm not quite sure how you're going to get food, how you're going to get out. But get this. It says, the security situation in Kabul is changing quickly, including at the airport. There are reports of the airport taking fire. Therefore, we are instructing U.S. citizens to shelter in place, the U.S. Embassy in Afghanistan said in a statement published on its website on Sunday. The embassy then told everyone that even as the Taliban took over Kabul, it is vital to have that your paperwork in order. Can you believe that, Steve? And access to electrical power and a working Wi-Fi connection are apparently necessary, too. It goes on to say, U.S. citizens wanting assistance in departing the country should register for any option that might be identified to return to the United States and must complete this repatriation assistance request for each traveler in their group. Spouses and minor children of U.S. citizens in Afghanistan who are awaiting immigrant visas should also complete the form if they wish to depart. and please do so as soon as possible. You must complete this form even if you previously submitted your information to the U.S. Embassy in Kabul. Steve, can you believe it?
That phrase, shelter in place, has taken on a dualistic meaning. Shelter in place when there's a tornado coming, or you know, or you get trapped, you know, in a larger area, like by a hurricane that's approaching, you know, where you're at. That's one thing. But shelter in place when there's somebody literally trying to track you down and you know,
kill you.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. Those are very empty words.
And one other thing it says, do not call the U.S. Embassy in Kabul for details or updates about the flight. This form is the only way to communicate interest in flight options. You talk about incompetence. And I was talking with a friend of mine last night about the unaffiliated voter here in America and how we are catering to the unaffiliated voter. And it was Helen Jean Mitchell. She said, you know what? You know, people need to, I'm going to paraphrase now what I heard, need to step up to the plate and get informed and understand what's going on. And it is time, because if you're in Taiwan right now, China's looking at this. I would be terrified in Taiwan. North Korea's looking at this. I mean, this is terrifying for the world. And I think that we realize that we have in office now people that do not care about Americans. When you tell Americans to shelter in place when the Taliban is on the march, instead of trying to figure out how to get them out. And then he's sending our soldiers back into Afghanistan, into harm's way. Think about those families, Steve. I mean, I can't even believe it.
I guess the very first thing that happened yesterday when I started to get a sense that something really bad was going on in Afghanistan was my heart went out to anyone, any family who has lost a loved one over there, over the last 20 years. What was that sacrifice for, ultimately?
Okay, let's go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Robin Carnes.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson. MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to support us. We are an independent voice, an alternative to all that's going on out there. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And my friends, local government is so important. And Robin Carnes is running for city council in Centennial. And Robin Carnes, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Kim. It's great to be with you.
These local races are very important. And in fact, in many of these races over the last 20 years, we have, we as conservatives, those that want to preserve our country and this idea that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, which has really is what's created this big, broad middle class that we have. We haven't been paying attention. We've been busy with our lives and our families and our jobs. But it is a civic duty to step forward and serve in these different capacities. And so thank you, first of all, Robin Carnes. Tell us, why did you decide to run for Centennial City Council?
You know, Kim, when I look at what is going on, not just locally, but even gosh, globally, as of today, it breaks my heart. There's too much at stake not to run. I've got a husband in law enforcement. I have two young sons, your future and mine. And as you said, you know, politics are local. The local elections matter, regardless of where you live. I mean, you live in a neighborhood, which affects your city, which affects your county, which affects your state and your nation, and then globally. And so we cannot sit back and be paralyzed by fear or even motivated by anger that is untamed. We have to use the God-given emotions that he has created within us to identify something is not right. And we need to step up and do something about it. I could not sit back any longer. I couldn't. I had to get involved. When the opportunity presented itself, I said, why not? Why not? If not now, when? I mean, if I don't take a stand for local issues and community issues that matter now, how will I be willing to take a stand when things really get rough? And Kim, we're there.
We are there.
When we look at what's going on in Afghanistan, how can we put our heads in the sand? I mean, I lift my hands up and go, dear Lord, I mean, we are asking for your intervention, just somehow, some way, because it is horrific. And if you don't think what's going on in Afghanistan is going to hit home, you are a fool. Get involved.
Well, for sure. And we have taken, you mentioned your husband's in law enforcement. We have, I think, really taken for granted our safe communities, our law enforcement. And so we look at what's been happening on a national level with the Biden administration and, of course, what happened last summer before the election with different organizations going in and, you know, destroying businesses. I mean, what we saw down at our Capitol was beyond belief here in Denver. And talking about defunding the police or reimagining the police. Certainly, we always want to be striving for excellence, but this is, in many ways, has been taking our police officers out at the knees, and we've taken for granted that who do we call when the bad guy's at the door? Well, I want to make sure there's somebody to call, Robin.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I mean, I had a really interesting experience this summer, which is, you know, coming to an end. I'm at the pool and I hear these two boys, middle school, and their conversation went something like this. Yeah, we need to get rid of the cops, all the cops. We don't want them anymore. I mean, and so I thought, being a concerned mother and citizen that I am, let's start a conversation. So I said, wow, what would happen if we did that? If we just got rid of them all, where would our community go? I mean, you think crime would increase or decrease? And they paused, and then they said, well, it would probably increase. And I said, well, why is that? Why would it increase? Well, because they wouldn't be around to call on. And that's absolutely right. I mean, there has been this divisiveness forced upon us. Do not think it is intentional. They know exactly what they're doing to try and get us to be divided, to take our law enforcement men and women out at the knees to better themselves. But let's not miss the fact what's really going on. It is a spirit of lawlessness. Anybody who is here to enforce the law, to uphold it, or even to make the law, we don't want, right? There's this message coming forward that we want nothing to do with anybody who's going to give us some type of boundary or, heaven forbid, protect us. And that is a huge, huge problem. I had a conversation with Steve Schultz, who is the Fraternal Order of Police president down in Denver. And he said, too, the best thing you can do right now with law enforcement is to back them and give them your visible support, because morale is low. And do not think, we haven't had the conversation in my own house, you know, should I move on? Is it worth staying in this fight from my husband's perspective? And you have to look, the majority of the men and women called to fight and to be in law enforcement are good citizens who want to make the community a better place. And if we eliminate them, I mean, we're going to see our neighborhoods and our communities shift in drastically negative ways. So we have to think about what is not just the immediate shift that would happen, but what is the extended consequence of say, yeah, let's go worst case scenario. What would happen if we got rid of all the police or reformed them or defunded them, heaven forbid? I mean, it'd be sheer chaos. And what we are seeing, I mean, let's tie it to the national level. What we are seeing in Afghanistan is an extreme, but don't underestimate. We could get there very quickly.
Well, right. One of our listeners texted me last night and said somebody said it'd take 90 days for this to happen. It took three in what happened in Afghanistan. Wow. Okay, so Robin, one other thing.
Yeah.
Our suburbs and suburban neighborhoods, home ownership, single family zoning, safe neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. There is an assault upon this as well. We saw this under the Obama administration in HUD with the Affirmatively Furthering Fair Housing, where they wanted to bring in rental units, change the fabric of neighborhoods. I know in Centennial that has been kind of a big concern there. And so I've thought a lot about this. And certainly I'm a property rights girl, and I think that it's important that property owners be able to do what they want with their property. However, I've learned after lots of conversations with Randall O'Toole, who is an expert in urban planning and transportation, that single-family zoning, going in and buying a home in a specific area, and then having government come in and change the zoning and change the fabric of that, may be an assault on property rights. I know it's a difficult question, but it's an important one. What's your thoughts about that, Robin?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think any time the government overreaches, it's a problem. Why do we need to involve the government in the first place? I, too, am a property rights girl, right? Individual rights and property rights. That's the proper role of government, to protect both. But when it comes to living, and within our beautiful communities, I mean, we are seeing a mass migration out of the cities, right? Because people are frustrated with what's going on. So there has to be a sensitivity to people wanting to get out of the city, right? There's a reason for it. Something is not right going on there. However, we must take a balanced approach. A balanced approach, meaning, again, what are the extended consequences? We see what do we want right now? It may feel good, but there's secondary and tertiary effects of what about the neighbors who are still here, right, who've lived in Centennial all of their lives? How will that shift things, traffic flow? How will it shift even their community living and what they do day in and day out? So there's got to be a sensitivity. You know, there's a term that's thrown around, affordable housing. What is affordable in this day and age? It's so subjective, right? And so we've got to be making decisions from a city council perspective. First of all, is it in line with the proper role of government, right? Supporting individual and property rights. But is it constitutional, meaning life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Does it work? And then we ask the question, is it wise? Is it necessary? Is it needed? Will it, how will it affect and will it support the local community? And does it reflect the values of the people? You know, we need compassionate common sense. You know, we can't just have compassion and we can't just have common sense. We need compassionate common sense. We've got to think about, again, how will A affect B, C, D, and all the way to Z? Because what we do not now will matter a week from now, a month from now, a year from now. Does that help?
Well, it does. And speaking of affordable housing, which I submit to you now, we are getting into the affordable housing industrial complex, as well as the homelessness industrial complex. And Patty, my researcher, had pulled out a headline that in Denver, we are spending, in the Denver metro area, we're spending about $500 million on the homeless. And the chronic homeless, there's probably 6,000 to 7,000 of them. And if you take the $500 million divided by the 6,000 to 7,000, that works out to about $78,000 per homeless person. And I submit to you, Robin, we're not going to solve that problem when there's that kind of money, because there's a lot of people making a lot of money on that. The same with the affordable housing. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons that housing is quote-unquote unaffordable is because of public policy. And when you look at Denver, where they're saying all new construction, or if you're doing an upgrade, to your home that you have to include an electric car charging station. That increases the cost of housing. And public policy has made it so expensive, and that is what is driving housing prices. The other one thing, and then you're cutting your final thought, is I'm concerned that we're going to start to tax people out of their homes because the values of their homes have gone up so much that their taxes are going up, and I'm concerned that we're going to price them out of their homes as well. Robin, this is a great conversation. We're out of time, but I'd like, how would you like to button this up? What's the final thoughts that you'd like to leave with our listeners? How can people get more information about you?
Sounds good. First of all, do visit me, Robin Carnes, Carnes for Centennial. So it is carnesforcentennial.com. Go to my website. And secondly, ask yourself, do you like living in our neighborhood? Do you like living in Centennial? Do you like our state? If you do, you will need to take a stand to fight for what is right, the right way, or you will lose it. We are seeing a mass migration out of Colorado. Why is that? We're one of the most beautiful states in the country. I can guarantee you if we don't take a stand now for these issues, we will not have the state that we so desired before. We will not have it. And we need to shift, and we need to get involved. And don't be silent anymore. Speak out. That's what will matter. Your voice matters. So carnesforcentennial.com. Thank you so much, Kim.
You bet. And Carnes is spelled with a C, so C-A-R-N-E-S, yes. And then four is spelled out, for Centennial, and you said it's .com, is that right? Okay, CarnesForCentennial.com. Yeah. Robin, thank you so much for stepping forward. This is truly what our founders envisioned, is citizens serving, stepping in and serving for a few terms and then stepping out. So again, that's CarnesForCentennial.com, CarnesForCentennial.com. Robin, thanks so much. Good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Pam Long about Biden and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's making sure that we're militarily ready by having all of our military personnel forced to take this experimental drug jab. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who support us. We are an independent voice, and it's great. We purchase our own airtime so that we have full control on our guest selection and our subjects. And we are searching for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. I'm thrilled to have on the line with me Pam Long. We haven't talked in a while, and I was going through my brain on her bio, and I think I've got it right. She's a former captain in the Army Medical Corps. Do I have that right, Pam Long?
Yeah, Army Medical Service Corps. That's right.
Medical Service Corps. I missed one word on that. A couple of things. First of all, what's your thoughts about Afghanistan?
Well, it's a tragedy. And like your guest said previously, that don't think that things like that cannot happen here. I'm just watching it unfold. And we need 30,000 people evacuated out of Afghanistan. I mean, we had such a long-term footprint there with our armed forces. And you know, I personally have lost friends in Afghanistan. And this is just really, really bad policy going on, affecting thousands of lives.
Yes, it is absolutely tragic. And what we've seen happen in the last 7 months since the Harris-Biden-Obama Rice administration has taken office, I mean, my gosh, there seemed to be stability in a lot of these hot spots in January, but not so much right now. But let's go over to the subject that I wanted to talk with you about, and that is this experimental jab. Now, it looks like they're on a fervor to get this approved by the FDA. But let's just bear in mind, this is an experimental drug that they have, they, meaning policymakers, have encouraged, coerced, forced, whole bunch of different words there, to people to take this experimental jab when we haven't even had the testing for a number of years for FDA approval. And now it looks like, I thought I saw Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said that our military is going to have to get this jab. And it's just, it's kind of mind-boggling to me, Pam. So what's the real story? Is it being forced? Is there a choice for our military? What's going on?
Well, the experimental vaccine is still voluntary, but there is widespread coercion in our military, and I'm hearing those reports every day. So the rock that our military members can cling to is Doe versus Rumsfeld. This was during the anthrax vaccine mandate from, went through our courts from 2003 to 2008, and ultimately the courts decided that DOD cannot mandate an emergency use authorized vaccine to our service members. That is illegal. So a military vaccine mandate requires either a presidential waiver or FDA approval, and we do not have either of those permissions, if you will, and it does not matter that the Secretary of Defense is, has a media blitz and a letter saying that is what he desires. Until we have one of those things, it cannot be mandated. And so service members, regardless, even if a presidential waiver or there's FDA approval, they still have exemption rights. They still have rights. So there's three types of exemptions. There's medical, which is both a contraindication, like a previous adverse reaction or a health issue. And then there's established immunity under that medical exemption, proof of immunity by an antibody test. There's the second type would be an administrative exemption where the commander says you have an exception to policy for various reasons for the mission. You're critical. We can't take any risks with you, or it's not necessary for you. And then also the big one is religious accommodation. That's an individual's deeply held personal belief, not the view of an institutional religion or a church leader or a sacred text, a personal belief that is individualized. And those are contained, all of those exemptions are contained in a joint regulation that affects all branches in AR-40-562. And so what you have here is you have a 46% refusal rate in the armed forces right now. So any attempt to continue to coerce this vaccine or to separate people for if it became approved by the FDA and mandated is going to cause a huge problem in our military, in our, you know, readiness. And what I would say to our armed forces right now, even if it gets approved, even if it gets mandated, you have to ask yourself, is this order three things? Is it lawful? Is it moral? Is it ethical?
Okay, so once at this particular point in time, it seems like there's great grounds to refuse this if you choose. But once that FDA approval occurs, and again, I'm getting so cynical now in my old age, Pam Long, that I'm like, I think they're all in bed together and they don't give us the truth on this. And I think this FDA approval is coming down the pike pretty quick. Then what do we do?
Well, I'm encouraging people to in our armed forces and people who love the people in our armed forces to really go to risk assessment, demand from our leaders, elected, military, what have you, you know, a war gaming scenario. Three scenarios are at play here. One, the likely scenario is that this drug does not confer immunity. So natural immunity and therapeutics should have equal standing with the vaccine. And the fact that it does, they don't have equal standing with this vaccine is a red flag. The second scenario would be a worst-case scenario, right? Under 100% mandate, a majority of the force potentially afflicted with ADE, or antibody-dependent enhancement, which is fatal. An epidemic of pathogenic priming this winter. Has anyone conducted the proper risk assessment on what that would do, for, you know, the impact on our readiness if young, healthy, fit people are dying from the common cold and or flu? So, and then the last scenario, an enemy scenario. Where is the risk assessment? Has an enemy entity co-opted influential scientists and agencies in the United States to a manufactured or exaggerated crisis? This virus has a 99.9% survival rate in young, healthy, fit people who do not have any comorbidities. So is this an enemy threat against both our military and civilian populations? And I would demand from leadership the evidence that those three scenarios have been properly analyzed.
So question, then, what about China? Are they mandating or coercing or doing what we're doing to their military to have them take this experimental drug therapy?
The main difference between the U.S. and China right now, so China is not using mRNA vaccines. They're not using any foreign vaccines. They have five different types of vaccines. The Sinovac and the Sinopharm, and Sino just means from China, and they also have a CanSino for their military. And so these are different than mRNA vaccines, which are very risky, as proven over the last 20 years in animal research for the antibody-dependent enhancement that I already mentioned. So these are allegedly inactivated SARS-CoV-2 viruses, and I say allegedly because the U.S. has not even isolated the virus, so I'm skeptical that any other country has isolated the complete virus and not just fragments of a virus. And then the military vaccine they're using is a viral vector vaccine, a chimpanzee adenovirus vaccine. And so these vaccines, typically these types of vaccines, typically do not have the adverse reactions that we are seeing reported here in the United States under VAERS with the mRNA. And so if I could just highlight what we're seeing here in our surveillance system under the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System as of July 30th, 12,000 deaths, 46,000 hospitalizations, 5,000 anaphylaxis, 4,000 Bell's palsy cases, 14,000 permanent disabilities, 3,000 myocarditis, which are cardiac-related events, 5,000 heart attacks, 1,300 miscarriages. These are the mRNA vaccine injuries being reported in the United States. Just for this past 18 months with the mRNA, they exceed the last decade of injuries from all other vaccines. I mean, this is a huge signal, what we say in surveillance and epidemiology, that we have a problem with this vaccine. And China is reporting more typical type of rates of reactions that you would expect from a vaccine. Can we trust what China's reporting? I don't know. They don't have a public available reporting system like we do here in the United States. But we do see in both countries, we see waning immunity with these vaccines. We see maybe they are not protective with variants with these breakthrough cases. But you do overall see internationally a big push for a preference for these mRNA vaccines, with even in April, China's CDC director hinting at a future adoption of mRNA vaccines while still citing safety concerns with mRNA vaccines. So, but not wanting to, lose face and admit that maybe the China's vaccines don't have the efficacy that they, allegedly reported at 51% with one and 79% in another. And that's just another thing. You have China reporting 50 to 79% efficacy in their different type of vaccines, and you have the United States reporting 95% vaccine. Just historically, we don't have 95% efficacy in our long-term use vaccines, that we've been using for decades. They range from 60 to 80% efficacy. So, 95% efficacy, I just want to clarify for people trying to make a good consumer decision. One, it's not believable that the fast-track vaccines have this high level efficacy that we could not achieve with decades of research in our other vaccines, existing vaccines. But also, when they're talking about efficacy, they're not addressing the primary endpoint as being preventing infection. We're talking about reducing severe symptoms. That's what the efficacy is pointing to, just reducing symptoms. That's all.
Wow. Pam Long, let's go to break. My other question then is why? And I just want to get your take on that. I just can't quite understand. That's the big question on all this coercion and force is why. I'm talking with Pam Long. She's a former captain with the Army Medical Service Corps. And we're talking about the coerced. And coercion and force are the same thing. They're saying we're not mandating it. But then you look at all the coercion. It's just a little more subtle way to force people to do something. But the why on this, I just can't quite understand that. So we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is another great sponsor of the Kim Munson Show. They are a family-owned business right here in Sedalia, Colorado. Check out, first of all, their website. That's castlegate.com, castlegate.com. But they're bringing in a line of watches. They have, I think, three different vendors that they have. And this week, they're going to be starting some promotions on these great watches. And there's watches for both men and women, and can be, I think, dress watches as well as everyday watches for, you know, just living life. So check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Pam Long.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who contribute to support us. We look at these issues. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And there's all different kinds of ways of forcing. And with this vaccine, this experimental drug, that we've seen giveaways of money and gift cards and force. You can't go to this restaurant, or you can't do this. It's been a real assault on our middle class when government came in and said, this business is essential, yours isn't, and really put people out of business. Then went in with printing money and then giving money to different businesses, again, picking winners and losers. Not all of them got money. It's just beyond belief. But now when we get to our military, we see what's happening in Afghanistan. We look to our law enforcement and to our military to protect us, that we would have national defense, that we would be safe. And here we've got Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin that is coercing at this particular point in time our military to get this experimental drug. Why? Pam Long, she's on the line. She's a former captain with the Army Service Medical Corps. And Pam, do you have an answer to why?
Well, I think the middle ground answer is the preference for this new drug. It starts with follow the money. We, the United States and all the, you know, international governments gave upfront billions of dollars for to fast track this technology and to pre-fund it. So now we have inventory on the shelves and we have to use it, right? And there's this groupthink mentality amongst you know, people in our government that this is the best option. We paid a lot of money for it. Let's not let it go to waste, but there's a high refusal rate. So now we see widespread coercion. And part of that is there is a, you know, tangible hysteria that people are walking around in masks that won't protect you from viral particles. And they, if the government tells them, take this drug, it will protect you, but we need everyone to take the drug, that should be a red flag of snake oil. If we need everyone to take it, then it doesn't work. So you have this inventory, you have prepaid products, you have a captured, you know, market, because it's the one product without liability that we have the ability at the state level as a government to mandate for people and to utilize our community leaders and businesses to coerce uptake, because there's federal funds attached to, if you, just like in our schools with these mask mandates, if you want these federal money for your school or college or business, then you must implement these COVID policies to get that money. So we've kind of incentivized people in our communities to adopt these policies without really a consumer watchdog saying, but wait a minute, you know, maybe the risk outweighs the benefit at this point, but we're so far gone into this group think that, you know, maybe we're too far gone into it, unless people start to stand up and say, wait a minute, I'm going to push back like never before in my life on these, you know, what some people would consider politics. But also a more cynical view would be that there's more of these mRNA drugs in the pipeline. So this is just a foot in the door where we convince everyone that we're not safe until 100% of people take this mRNA technology, while Moderna has already 5 other mRNA vaccines in clinical trials for RSV, HIV, CMV. I would challenge people to say, you know, how far are you going to let this go? Maybe you don't even want this product, but you feel like you're coerced into it. Where's your line? Will you say no thank you to the next 5 mRNA drugs that are coming down the pipeline? I mean, I think it's pretty clear that we have abandoned our medical ethics of do no harm. And our surveillance data is showing that we have tens of thousands of adverse reactions, disabilities, and deaths compared to just a few decades ago when the swine flu vaccine rolled out, and 25 deaths and a few hundred cases of Guillain-Barré syndrome, a neurological disorder, completely shut down that program. What is the difference now? I would argue that it's billions of dollars.
Well, and speaking of that, we had, I think it was Lauren Levy who was on last week, who said that his daughter is going off to college, and so they're tussling with these forced vaccinations at her particular college right now. There is the option for testing on a regular basis. And so I guess I was just thinking, on testing, you just waltz in and, hey, I see all signs all the time for free vaccine. But this mandatory testing is a not so subtle coercion, because I've heard that there's can be a cost of up to $100 for this testing. So let's think about it. A business, a school, an organization says, okay, you don't have to get the vaccine, but you have to get testing, and you have to get testing done twice a month or twice a week, and it's $50-$100 a pop. I mean, my gosh, people are going to go, that really affects my pocketbook. What's your thoughts on that, Pam?
Well, thanks for bringing up the cash cow of the PCR test. And first of all, it's a completely fraudulent system, and it's definitely making money for the people who control the contracts at the state level. And even the universities are getting kickbacks for per test. And so we know two things. One, if you run it at a high cycle rate between anything above 25 and 40, which our state is, in Colorado, most states are, then you're going to generate false positives. And secondly, we also know that the CDC publicly declared less than a month ago that it cannot discriminate between infectious and non-infectious particles. It cannot discriminate between influenza and coronaviruses. So we're going to phase it out and implement a new test. So why are we using this test still? I would encourage anyone who is under a testing mandate to, first of all, it's an emergency use authorized product, so you have tests, so you have the right to refuse. It's voluntary. Secondly, you have the right to informed consent, demand to know the cycle rate. If it's above 24, then it's invalid and generating false positives. And third, the CDC has already said that it is garbage. And again, we are just using inventory off the shelf so it doesn't go to waste, not because it's beneficial.
people need to stand up. And I know that the thought of not going to school for a year, or and many of these kids have scholarships. They're like, will I lose my scholarship? Standing up to an employer that's forcing this vaccination with the concern that you might lose your job, your livelihood. I mean, it's scary for sure. However, if we don't stand up, I think that it could actually increase a tremendous amount of entrepreneurship and start to affect the pocketbooks here. I'm looking at the clock. My gosh, Pam, we only have a minute left. This conversation could go on much longer. How would you like to button this whole thing up, Pam Long?
I would just say to people in your cost-benefit situation, if you feel coerced and you feel like you have to take this for your career, your job, your school, whatever, ask yourself, you know, can I do my career, job, school, life with a disability or death? No, you cannot. So, I mean, we really need to get real and go to openvirus.com and look for yourself at our surveillance system on what the real risks are. And I think that'll help motivate people to stand firm, Kim.
Okay. And where would you send people for more information about all this?
I've been writing for Children's Health Defense on all the military coercion and mandate information. So their website, Children's Health Defense, it's a wonderful organization led by Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Okay. And so, Pam Long, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And our quote for today is from Joseph Goebbels, who was actually the propaganda minister for Hitler. And he said, there will come a day when all the lies will collapse under their own weight and truth will again triumph. My friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. Mountains climbing, twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out in great unknown, and I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't